Rabbi, so we're nearing the conclusion of the the cheshbonos in Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh, and I believe we started this one, but it's so amazing, and we haven't learned for a few weeks. I believe I'll repeat it, and that is the 29th of the 30, and the Chayvus Levavus says, listen, it's very important to make a meditation, the Cheshbon HaNefesh, to meditate over the fact of how much more precious your soul is than your body. And we should realize that not all souls are created equal. There are individual souls, and there are comprehensive, encompassing souls. And there's a soul that other method is one man who is worth 1,000 other people. And what I want you to know, that what makes a person precious and valuable is not his physical capacities or his intellectual strengths. It is his milus ruchnius, his soul. Great people are, the biggest mistake we make is to think that you become a gadol, we wish a child to become a gadol b'Yisrael. He's great by virtue of his great encyclopedic knowledge, which of course is very important, but that's not what makes you a really great person. The great person is the one whose knowledge leads him inward to appreciate the great soul that he or she has, and to use all of its strength and power to serve the Rabbi Nishlal. And as I've mentioned many times, Rabbi Saul Salanter, he said, I know I have the intellect of 1,000 people, but that means I have to serve Hashem like 1,000 people. And he says this goes for men and women. He makes it very clear for men and women. And women also, the more they put effort into beautifying themselves on the outside, they're so into farputzing themselves. So if they don't have milus ruchnius, that's exactly what Shlomo Melech said, Sheker Achein, the Hevel HaYoifi, Isha Yiras Adonai Yitzhalo. The external charm is a lie, and beauty is worthless. It's the woman who has fear of Hashem and cultivates her soul, which is the God inside of us, the fragment of God, that woman is worthy of praise. So just to give you an idea, I was in Yerushalayim last week, not the week before last, before Tisha B'Av, and speaking together with me there in the Minyanei Huma was Diane Donner of Bnei Brak. And he was mentioning how his mother, who must be a very great lady, she has a wonderful family, he's the brother of Diane Donner of London, the mother, very, very fashionable with family, says his mother, who's the wife of his father Diane in London, she has exactly one dress for Shabbos in the winter and one summer Shabbos dress. Again, the same one, it's too hot. And she's a very happy lady. Can you imagine a woman with just one Shabbos dress in the winter? And one Shabbos dress in the summer. And she's actually happy. Can you imagine life of that sort? So evidently there's more to life than going to the boutique and to the, there's still women like that. Can you imagine? So this means this woman has been cultivating her spiritual gifts, and it's apparent in the children she bore and gifted to Klal Yisrael. So he says, you got to think about this. You got to think about this a lot. You got to think about your neshama, if it's clean or dirty. So we spend lots of time running to the cleaners, and we wear a shirt once maybe, one change of shirt every day maybe. It's ring around the collar. Got a little stain, a little stain, shine. Oh, no one's gonna wear a shirt with a stain. No, God. How about the neshama? And there's such a great word from Yaakov Emden. The reason the Gemara says Talmud Chacham Sheyesh Lo Revav Al Bigdoy is Chayv Misa. A Talmud Chacham who has a stain on his clothing is deserving of the death penalty. It's a very bad thing. Talmud Chacham should have very takah. His clothing externally should be neat and clean and impeccable and spotless. But he says, you know why he's Chayv Misa? He says, because if you don't care about a spot on your clothing, you certainly won't care about a spot in your neshama. You have to have a sense of cleanliness. But, so Avada says, it's nothing wrong with wanting to have clean clothing. But think for a second, but that, the Rabbi Shalom is using the clothing to remind you that you have to even be, work harder and be more concerned about speck on the neshama. And again, the story from Rasul Salanter, where once he was giving a shiur to Talmidim, and a rich man walked in, and Rasul was somewhat uncomfortable, and after the rich man walked out, he started to cry. And he said, what happened? So Rasul said, because when the rich man walked in, I realized, I remembered that my kapata, the seam was ripped open, and there was a thread hanging out, and I was very embarrassed that the rich man should notice this. Rich people care more about these things. And I said to myself, look at this, what a shanda, look what I've sunk to. That I'm embarrassed for the rich man seeing a flaw, a minute tiny flaw on my clothing. How then am I not deeply, deeply, deeply humiliated by the fact that the Rabbeinu Shalom is always watching me and he sees so many flaws on my neshama and I just don't care about it. And I'm oblivious to it. The rich man I'm embarrassed from, the Rabbeinu Shalom not. So therefore the Chavis Lava says, we have to realize that the most precious thing we have, both to be proud of and to be embarrassed of, is our neshama. And this is everything. But then he says something gewaltig. This is so, it's a pachad neira. He says, you should know, whoa, this is, again, I think we learned this but a few weeks ago, but this is unbelievable. He says, you should know that it's easier to cure your body from the worst disease in the world. You can have the worst cancer AIDS, you can have the worst ravishing HIV in the world, and you're withered. It's harder to cure your neshama from an attack, from a Yetzirah attack, from the ravages of a Yetzirah attack on the neshama. It's harder to cure that than the worst attack in your body you can imagine. The worst disease, Rachman is not the most debilitating, incurable disease in the world, is easier to cure than the sickness that has plagued your soul. And that sickness is called cancer of the soul, a.k.a. Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is worse, it's spiritual HIV, spiritual cancer, spiritual, whatever you want. I don't know all the names of the disease. Typhus, malaria, you name it. The TB, the worst thing you can think of. MS, you name it. Rachman Litzlan. It's easier to cure yourself from no matter what the body is ravaged by than it is to cure yourself from the ravages of the Yetzirah that has overwhelmed, that has gotten the best of you. That's the pasuk he says. Shlomo Melech says a Mishnah. He's a smart man, Shlomo Melech. He had a book of cures. Shlomo Melech had the Sefer Refuahs. He had the book of cures. Some say he wrote the book, which had a cure for everything in the world. And it says there, Mishnah Yitzchaz, Ruach Ish, Yichalka Machleyo. A man's spirit, the man's positive spirit, will provide him with strength and immunization in the time of Machla. Ruach Ish, Yichalka Machleyo. A strong spirit will support you in the time of machla, physical malady. But ruach necheya, but a sick spirit, a spirit that has been ravaged by the Yetzihara, necheya really means paralyzed. If you're neshama, if your neshama is paralyzed by the Yetzihara, as our neshamas are, they're just paralyzed of. He has a Sten gun. He has this gas, right? What do they call the thing you press?
Mace.
Mace. A spiritual mace. Mace. Very good word for it. Mace. And become mace. We become spiritually paralyzed. Like, what do I do now? I'm crippled. I have my bad habits. I have my bad attitudes. I have a hardening of the attitudes and a hardening of my habits. And I can't break it, and I'm just about Taivin, about Gaivin, and full of Kinna, and Sinna, and Taivin, and everything, and I'm just crippled, I don't know, I can't get out of it. Ruach Necheya, if your neshama is paralyzed, Miyasena, who can carry that? Who can provide for that? A sick soul is much worse than a sick body. Val. What a lush. It's just only the Chavos Vavos comes up with these observations. And therefore, Shlomo Melech says earlier in Proverbs and Mishlei, he says, "Mikol Mishmar Natsarli Becha." More than anything, you protect yourself. So we have big burglar alarms over our house, big signs, "Don't you dare trespass." And we have these lights that go on by sensors, and we have pit bull dogs all around the house, and Rottweilers, and all these nasty Doberman pinchers watching all over the place. Chas v'shalom, a burglar shouldn't enter, and we have bars and more bars and barbed wires, because that we could, no burglars allowed. I'm so scared of a burglar. And we have alarms in our car, and we have this and that, and everything in the world to protect ourselves physically, and we're immediately taking shots, immunizing ourselves, and we have healthcare insurance, and this kind of insurance, and double on top of healthcare insurance, and old age insurance, and nursing home insurance, and this kind of insurance, and that kind. We have all kinds of insurance policies in the world. But Shlomo Melech, is your soul insured? Have you taken out an insurance policy for your neshama? Mikol mishmin etzar li becha. More than anything, you're securing, secure your heart. Ki mimena totzah es chayim. Because all of the pathways of life come from the heart. And if you don't guard your heart against the Eitz Hara, so if you haven't, have you developed an alarm system for your eyes? In that case, you see the wrong thing immediately, you're not to avert your eyes, not to look where you shouldn't look. Do we have an alarm system for our ears? An alarm system for our mouth? Then the minute we start, we just slide into Lashon Hara. As I was walking somewhere in the street, and like, a guy asked me a question, like this was like a guaranteed Lashon Hara question. Guaranteed, and never fits indicative of how I knew it was Lashon Hara, but the alarm didn't go off loud enough, but Baruch Hashem, still a little bit. I remember Tisha B'Av was a week ago, so the alarm went off rather weakly. It was a very low alarm, and it wasn't a five alarm fire. It was like a one alarm, but that is somehow I avoided the conversation, but just barely by the skin of my teeth. I have not developed a good enough security system for my mouth, for my eyes, for my heart. Develop a security system. You go in someone's house and it's nicer than yours. The heart shouldn't start yesterday, like the Sava, you know? You know the difference between Aseret. Everyone paid attention to Aseret. The difference. Son doesn't stand up with the Kriyas HaTorah yesterday, but Aseret is the difference. You have to pay attention to the difference between the first version and the second version. And the first version in Yisro is Leisachmon. Leisachmon means you shall not actively solicit someone else's property or goods. That's Leisachmon. If you offer to pay him. But Leisachmon, yes, there is Leisachmon, which means you're not even in your heart harbor any desire, even without making any effort, any actual verbal or physical effort to acquire someone else's home, furniture, house, wife, children, whatever you like, you can't take away from them. So, Ramesh the Daf Yomi, this Baba Kamas, the whole sugya of Edis and Zaburis. So, what was the cheshvan over there? Yeah. How the human heart works. Such a sick cheshvan. The Rashi quotes the Gemara in Gittin Daf Memchet, with Allah is, that a Baal Choy pays the Beinonis. That means to say, if you lend somebody money and they don't pay you back, so you have the right to take their fields in payment. But if you take the fields, you can only really confiscate his intermediate value field. Right? But the right, so it could be you have the right to take his best field. But the Rabbanan said, no, you can only take his intermediate field as payment. When you're taking, when the Beinon goes down and will take property that's mortgaged to, the minute I lend somebody money and he has real estate, all of his real estate, there's a lien on everything. But when they actually come to take the money, if he has different grades of real estate, I can take only the medium quality real estate. Why? Because we're afraid, says the Gemara, that maybe the Zach is Azoy. I see this guy has a beautiful house. I love his house. I love his mansion. And I know he's in financial straits. So I'll go over to, I'm such a sneaky, sly guy, I'll go over to him, and I'll offer him a loan, and say, oh, you know, I see you having hard times, maybe you want to borrow some money. You go, wow, sure, I need money, I'm undercapitalized, my business. I'll lend you $100,000. Wow, you're such a good Samaritan. You are, Rabbi, I see those years of Chavos Lavavos really had a big impact on you. You are really a tzaddik. They told me you were a tzaddik, but now I know you're a tzaddik. You're actually offering me $500,000, no problem. I'm really a tzaddik. I unsolicited $500,000 interest-free loan, right? So I'm money I go to my friend Jonathan, who'll bankroll me, and he'll give me the $500,000 to lend. And but what's my real insidious plan there, Jonathan? My real insidious plan is I really want his house. I know he can't pay me back. He'll never pay me back. And I tell him, but you know, stop my boss 30 days. This is just, you know, a short-term loan over here. Oh no, I need the money desperately. Sure, I got this big deal in the works. So I give him $500,000, and okay, this is great. I know he's not going to pay me in 30 days, and then I can just take his home. So if the 30 days doesn't pay, I run to the bank and say, I got it. Got it. I love his home. Sorry, his home's his best stuff. He can't get the best stuff. He only get, he has other properties. He can get his slum in Newark over there. He has a couple of tenements in Harlem, and now of course Harlem became idiots. I mean, you know, Harlem is no longer a hush of a place. Harlem is the place to be. I'm thinking aside the first people. Harlem's gonna be a big Jewish neighborhood, you know, we can gentrify it now that we have such hush of a people over there. But I still have a couple of tenements in Fort Apache in South Bronx and in Newark and in Jersey City. So that's what the guy would get. That's my medium size. So that's the halachas. You see, the chazal know a person's human nature, that we're so sick and human beings can be so, so jealous and coveting and envious that I might engineer an entire scenario, make myself a big tzaddik, almanas, to take someone's great property. So therefore it says, Shlomo HaMelech, we have to have an alarm system. The minute I even, and we always slide into that jealousy so easily, you're always jealous. Why does he have nachas mitzvah? Why is he making chasnas? I haven't made any chasnas. He's younger than me. Why does he have a nicer house than me? Why does he have, he's making a better pranasa than me? Why is he has everything? I'm jealous. We call Mishman a Tzarli Bechel, more than everything that we secure, more than everything that we have insurance policies for, guard your heart. Because the envious heart is a heart that really is a heretic heart. It's Kaifer Bicker. He earned the money. Hashem gave him the money. He earned his house. It's Hashem gave him the house. It's from Shemayim. The Basel, the same Basel that comes out 40 days before the child is formed at the time of conception, that says, Basel and the Ploni, that this woman is for this gentleman. The same Basel says to Gemara, the very same breath, the Gemara says, the Basel, the heavenly voice says, this house is for that person. So the house is preordained from the time of birth. And then it says, not just preordained from the time of birth, it's preordained from Sheshes Mebereshes, really. Just that the heavenly voice comes out at the time of the conception of this particular gentleman. But the Rabbi Shlomo, when he created the world 5,761 years ago and change, Rabbi Shlomo ordained that someone's going to live on Mariner Way, and someone's going to live on Voyager Way, and someone's going to live on Norbin, and someone's going to live on Lindcrest, and on Cortland, and on Ash. It's by Sheret that every blade of grass on Ash, every crab apple that grows there, every single little worm that's coming out of the ground there, every earthworm is already by Sheret from the Rabbi Shlomo, Sheshes, you may be gracious. But the Basco, so it's by Sheret, where this guy's going to live in his house, his address, long before there was an America on the map. Long before Amerigo Vespucci decided to make a map of America, the Rabbi Shlomo's map had the map of Muncie. Long before the street ever existed, long before they incorporated Muncie and Ramapo, suffering the face of the coldest place. Haven't figured it out. Just know I pay the taxes. I don't know exactly where it's going to, but the tax bill is, death and taxes inevitable. But that was ordained by the Rabbi Shlomo, the amount of taxes I'm going to pay to Nathan Oberman, tax collector. Who's this guy, Nathan Oberman? I'll have to meet this guy. This guy's the richest guy in Rockland County, Nathan Oberman. But the kids are, taxes are coming soon, Rabbi Isai. Let's get ready, September. So, the kids are Zalz Bashert. So how can I be jealous? That's some Bemunah and B'tochem Hashem. I know that it just can't be mine. Hashem ordained it. Why? I don't know. Only the good Lord. Just the same reason I don't have beautiful blue eyes and blonde hair. And the same reason why I talk of a nicer nose than his nose. He has one of those Jewish noses, but I have a nice aquiline nose, nice Jewish looking nose. So, you know, you want to have a Jewish nose. That you pay money to take you get rid of that Jewish looking nose. So I don't complain about my nose. I'm happy. So don't complain. Someone else has something better than me. So you have to watch the heart with the concept. You have to do this in advance. Because the minute I really sincerely look at someone's house and I really get a taiva, I'm over on one of the 10 commandments, Laisa Sava. So I look like a very good Jew. My tzitzis are hanging out, and my pays are flying in the wind, and I'm running around with my talis. I look like a real holy roller. But in my heart of hearts, I am such a lowlife that I'm transgressing on the 10 commandments. But I really don't want to do transgress the Ten Commandments, but the Teretz that I didn't make a security system. So I didn't prepare this in advance. I have to speak to myself all the time. I should have been speaking to myself days and years ago, inoculating myself against envy and jealousy by realizing Alzheimer's from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Alzheimer's from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, but what's this world anyway? This world is not Shlum Zervelt. The Welt is the next world. Who cares about this world, really? That doesn't make a difference. And my preoccupation with all the luxuries of this world is only going to take away from my castle that I'm building in the sky. I'm supposed to put my mind on the work on the blueprints of my gorgeous castle in the sky in the world of neshamas. Why am I wasting my time over here with castles on earth? But I have to prepare for this. We call Mishma the Sarli Beth, because you're sick at heart, you're a really sick person. You're much sicker than if you're sick in your body. You meditate to us chayim. Well, that's the 29th meditation. But it just segues in so beautifully with the 30th and last of the 30. So we finally arrived, by side, we've arrived at the last of the 30 meditations. And that is, says the Halig of Chavis Lavavis, no safer like this. He says the 30th Cheshvan is that a person has to judge and evaluate himself every day. Do I look at myself as a permanent resident in this world, a citizen of this world, or do I look at myself as an alien with a green card in this world? I'm a ger. I'm just a visitor with a visa over here. It's a very hostile world, actually. And I just barely got myself a little visiting. I'm in communist China. And it's a hostile world over here. I don't belong in communist China. I'm just, they barely gave me a little visa to tour the place, and this is not my world, I'm a ger. Says the Chavis Lavavis, that a person has to have the attitude at all times that I am merely a ger. I am a stranger in this world. If you're a stranger in this world, you will not be a stranger in paradise. You don't be a stranger in paradise, you want to be a citizen. And to the extent that I'm a stranger in this world, I will be a citizen of paradise in the next world. But to the extent that I made this world very permanent, and I reaffirmed my Birgerschaft, my citizenship in this world. I really want to be well established in this world. I put my mind every day how I can better establish myself and get very well established here financially and socially. I want to be entrenched in the highest echelons of society and finance to make sure I have a very secure financial base for myself. What are you making such a big security financial base? You're just here for 70, 80 years. You're just with a green card over here. So that's a very, very, very brief visit. Vis-a-vis eternity, this is a flash and blink of the eye. You want to be a citizen, you want to be well entrenched in the NFL. That's where we want to be real citizens. That's where we're building castles. So the Cheshvan never says, I have to ask myself, am I acting like a ger in this world? Or am I acting like a real entrenched citizen? And the Cheshvan is. He says, you know, our matzav in this world, like the man who came to visit a very strange country. He took a long trip on a boat, and he traveled from Europe to America, and all there were Indians over here, and he gets off Manhattan Island, and just these wild Indians, doesn't know anybody, doesn't speak the language. Nobody knows him, he's a white man, they're red men, there's nothing, they came, they sign language, I don't know, they talk to these people in the first place. He gets off the boat, and there is, on Wall Street, there's a whole welcome committee of the Manhattan Indians with wampum in their hands. But he doesn't know what wampum means. The vase garnished. He gets off the boat, and the Indians are looking at him. They're hostile. There's anger in there. Who is this white man coming over here? But the kitzer, what happened was is that the chief of all the Indians, Hadrachman, he sees this white man, comes off on his big boat. He doesn't know what to do, where to go. So the chief of all the Indians has Rachmanis in him. And he starts teaching him a little bit of the language. Teaches him some basic rules about the Indian culture. He gives him some food every day until he can get on his feet. But he says, listen, I'm only taking you into my teepee and putting you under the royal aegis as long as you're faithful to us. If you come here to harm my Indians, if you come here to harm us, then it's all over. As long as you follow the rules and regulations of this country, they're different than your country, and you're faithful to us, and you're loyal, and you don't rebel against me, I want you to promise. I want you to swear to me. I want you to swear fealty and loyalty to me that you will not go against the rules and regulations of my country and my people. And if you follow the rules, I'll be very happy to still be Makar of you and treat you with friendship and with generosity. But if you go against the rules, I promise you, you will be severely punished. You will be severely punished. And by the way, you also know something else, that at this point, I'm not giving any time limits for your visit to my country over here, but I can expel you without a moment's notice. I can expel you without any notice, just like that. I can throw you out of here. So just remember that. You have to be ready at any time to leave. So listen, so don't get too comfortable over here. I'm letting you stay here. As long as you follow the rules, you can stay. But I'm telling you something else. At any moment, based on my whim and my idea, because I have different plans for this society. The minute I decide I don't need you anymore, I don't want you anymore, this isn't your place anymore, I can terminate your stay like that, and in one second, with mamish in a second, without any prior notice, I can take you away like that, and you're out of here. You're out of this country. Says the Chazal Zavod, it's exactly this world. This world, the Rabbi Shalom Bekoshi said, I'm sending the soul down to this world. But the soul is no shaykh to this world. It's a total stranger. So just like this fellow comes from England, and he's not, he wants to blend into Indian society. So the first thing they did was they stripped off his English clothing, and they strip off his tricorn, and they strip off his breeches and his stockings, and they give him a loincloth and some feathers in his cap, and they give him whatever they give him, and they give him whatever, like Indians wear, and breeches, leather breeches, and moccasins, of course, and a tomahawk, but he's got to look like an Indian. So the Rebbe also, the neshama comes down Shemayim, the neshama Shemayim is one thing. The Shach is this world, so Hashem gave the neshama body. So Hashem dressed the neshama in the body. And the neshama should always feel very uncomfortable with that. A body, just like this Englishman knows, no matter how long he'll wear Indian clothing, he's not an Indian, he's an Englishman. But the vibe of living in the Indians, you gotta wear Indian clothing, although it's so totally different than English clothing. So too, the shamas in this body. The body? This is so strange to me, this body. This is not me. I'm really in the shama. Whenever you look in the mirror every single day, you say, look at me. What am I doing? Nose, eyes, ears. What is this stuff anyway? I am a soul. The shama, I've never had a body, and eyes, and ears, and hair. What's this mishikas? Hair. Hair. Crazy. Hair, fingers, fingernails. What is this anyway? This is not me. Okay. King says, if I want to stick around here, I got to wear this clothing and be a loyal citizen. I got to treat the clothing nicely. It's his clothing. It's not my clothing. It belongs to the king. He said, I have to return it to him immaculate. They have to take good care of this clothing. King says, it's his. So I got to take care of the body. King said so. I got lots of, the king gave me all these rules and regulations. Let me see if I can figure all this out. All these rules and regulations I have to figure. And he said, there's a whole message in the totem pole. I just read it. But that totem pole is like Hebrew to me. I can't read that stuff. It's like a different language. But the guy makes, king says, I gotta read the totem poles. And the king says, if I behave, it'll be okay. But any second, he can strip me of this clothing and throw me out of here back on the ship home. That's what it's all about, says the Chavis Lavavis. We are in the Shamas here, a stranger in this world. And they're bunched on in 1 second, Rachmon Litzlan, 1 second. One second we're looking fine and proud, next second Rachmon is down, some drunk driver just plows into the car, and it's all over. It's all over that second's notice. Driving home from the chasana, everything is fine, happiest man in the world, married off my last child, this is it, I'm really entrenched over here, I have 15 grandchildren already, and two great-grandchildren, I paid off my mortgage already, I'm telling you, I'm on top of the world, and suddenly, boom, even though it hit me, guy runs the light, and it's all over. No notice whatsoever, I'm out of this world. I'd be ready at all times to leave. So we have to settle, says the Chavos Vavos, get ready for the big journey in Shemayim. You gotta go home. You gotta get back to clothing someday. We're a ger. And therefore, says the Chavos Vavos, a ger, the first thing in a ger again does not mean a convert. A ger here means an alien, a real non-citizen. That our rights are, it's not our place. We are aliens who are just being tolerated on a temporary visa. We are visitors' visa. That's all we have over here. You gotta be very careful. So, the first thing is you have to be very humble.
How can you be a Baal Gaiva? How can you be a Baal Gaiva? How can you be a Baal Gaiva over the beauty of your body? A Baal Gaiva over the beauty of your clothing? It's not yours in the first place. It's not even mine. Hashem just lends it, the owner just lends it to me. And certainly it's not for me to tell other, to make decisions and make rules up and regulations. I certainly can't go against the rules of the king. Like it says by Lod, the people of Sodom said to him, a man comes here, he's just a stranger, having to live here for a short while. Lod was a newcomer, and now you're the judge over us. You're telling us what to do. So too, how arrogant it is. I'm going to tell the Rebbeinu to run the world. I'll tell him what to do. Instead of me accepting humbly the rules of Hashem, I'll tell Hashem I'll do it my way. And the main thing he says is that you should be ready every second for the return trip. Muchan lekras nisiyosei v'chagirosei. So you cannot be menucha. You can never be really confident. Don't try to be confident. Bikei Yaakov leishei v'shalva u'v'kofes lavrugus v'yosef. The minute Yaakov started getting a little too confident in his world, and he thought everything is settled, that's exactly when things became unsettled. It's a guarantee. The minute we think, oh, finally I finished that big extension of my house, finally everything is just fine, everything is very good, I took care of my business, got everything organized. The minute you think everything is settled, that's the best reason why Hashem make everything unsettled. Because Hashem is doing us a favor. He wants to remind us that this is not our world, that we should be always in a state of discomfort, a state of agitation, a state of feeling uncomfortable here. Hashem does not want to be comfortable here. He has many ways of doing it. Sometimes he has to give us physical discomfort, sometimes emotional discomfort, and problems in the family, and problems with ourselves. Sometimes he gives us financial discomfort, and social discomfort. Hashem has a whole array, and everybody needs a different discomfort. Only the good Lord knows what it is that will make us feel so uncomfortable. So it's just, you know, it's forever. It's endless. Don't ever want to be confident. The most dangerous thing in the world is to try to be safe. Remember that. If you want to have a safe, secure life, there's nothing as unsafe as trying to be secure in this world. The minute my goal is to have ultimate security, financial security, social security, everything, health security, that's a guarantee that Shalom Katan Shalom. You want to be secure in this world? Be gay, Asia, Vishalvi, you're only a sojourner here. You're Meshuggah what you are. You only have 70, 80 years. What are you making such a big fuss about this world for anyway? We're having just right. And you'll finally clean out your closet and you get your shoes organized and the shoes, the thing over there. And you'll cold call. Once we had a guy, this wealthy guy in Miami, very wealthy man. There are Rachmanis and the guy, he's divorced and no knock on his life, but he was wealthy. So, he used to give money for tzedakah, so he used to come up to his whole floor penthouse to see what he wanted to show me his penthouse. This guy had, like, closets. He had more closets than I have a house. His closet was bigger than he had. Mama, she had one huge room just for pants, and one room just for jackets, and one room just for his ties, and one room for his shoes, and one for shirts. And it was like a room, and Mama's a big closet. I was so organized, like, this man's really very, very greatly, this man's really settled. This guy got this. What could be better than that? A room, pants, shirts, shoes. I mean, he made Imelda Marcos look like some kind of a beggar. He had so many shoes. The guy was, it was devastating. However, I tried to track him down now because I need somewhere to talk. I still get it from him. He said, changed addresses twice. I can't track the guy down. Every year or so, when I call him for a certain tzedakah, which he used to always give me for a certain tzedakah, it's a new address. He's always changed. He's never happy. First he's on Palmdale, you know. Then went up to North America. Then he's on the Fisher Island. Then he's in Boca Raton. And now, I don't know where he is. He's just disappeared. He just disappeared off the face of the earth. Now every place he's gone has been more beautiful than the next. I don't know what he's looking for. But if you have no family life, and you have no real Yiddish life, and you're not working in the Shama, and you can afford everything in the world, loaded. So every year, his mom is changing addresses. Every time he's a different address. Every time it's like something a notch above in Gashmias. But he'll never be happy. Never. Mamash. Happiness is a gift from Hashem. Happiness is a gift. The pursuit of happiness, which is our declaration of independence, guaranteed right of all democracy, the pursuit of happiness is an oxymoron. To pursue happiness is to chase away happiness. By definition, happiness is a gift from Hashem, and as a result of our cultivating our neshama, which belongs to God, Hashem sends a gift of happiness. You can't pursue happiness. If pursuit of happiness means to pursue our situation in this world to make ourselves more comfortable, then the happiness will run away from us. So Chazal says, it doesn't say exactly that in Chazal, but you know, the Velt says it, that whoever runs after covet runs away. Well, even more so, whoever runs after complacency, comfort, and establishment in this world, if we equate happiness with security in this world, he who pursues security, it will be the most insecure person in the world. Because you'll never be perfectly secure. It's always, it's never secure. Never, never secure. Wherever you think you're secure, Tzavka Hashem will pull the carpet out from under your feet. In the pursuit of security is an oxymoron. The whole use of security is, I'm not pursuing security in this world. I'm pursuing my Olam Haba. I'm working on to have every mitzvah, I know every word of Torah, every word of tefillah, mamish, is another tile in my beautiful castle in the sky. That's what my security is, and my happiness is the anticipation of the bliss of Olam Haba. And I'm not pursuing anything in this world. I'm just the opposite. I'm trying to avoid this world. This world's full of pitfalls. This world's dangerous. I have my alarm system on all the time. I'm on the alert though. This world's trying to distract me from Olam Haba. This world's trying to rip Olam Haba away from me. The Yetzer wants me to forget this Olam Haba. He's dangerous. I have to put up all kinds of alarm systems to watch out for the Yetzer. I have to have a security against him. He wants to destroy me. He wants to talk and make me secure in this world, the Yetzer. He wants to make me think that security is all here. And that way he'll strip me of my whole paradise. He wants me to be a stranger in paradise and to be happy here. This is a happy camp here. No. I want to be Hamish in Shemayim, and I'm very happy to be very alien in this world and insecure in this world. It's fine. I'll be insecure in this world. It's fine, because that'll guarantee my security in the world to come. Okay, everybody, so we'll stop here. Not sure. We'll